Welcome to the Startup Addict Podcast. I'm Nick Swinmurn. I've been starting companies for over 20 years now. I've had some big successes, like Zappos.com, and lots of failures.
Dennis is not calling out sick ever again.
I'm still convinced
feels different.
More addictive.
What's in that coffee?
Trying to turn ideas into reality.
I'm back.
Jesus. Glad I'm fucking sitting in front of you. Did you cover any part of your mouth?
Nope. This mic is officially mine now.
Yeah. Start licking it.
I don't know what Julio just did. Julio just bobbed his head back. Yeah.
Welcome to episode 28. And today we're talking about regrets. Sorry I couldn't make it last time. I was a little bit sick.
We're talking about things we would change and lessons learned, but maybe those will all be regrets.
I'm sure. Hopefully.
What time did you get here today?
I got here at 4, probably a little. I ran out the door, kissed the wife goodbye. I say, look, everyone's going to be there. I have to be there on time.
What time is it now?
5:38. Saw Patrick Swayze documentary, and twiddled my thumbs. Nice. So it was pretty fun.
Well, Julio's clearly been to sports bar all day. He's got his Niners jersey on.
Yeah.
No, I actually was watching football today with my girlfriend. It was awesome.
Nice.
Didn't get asked too many football questions because she's somewhat knowledgeable. And then about the start of the fourth quarter, I said, I really need to go get some recording done today.
You know, I realized today.
So wait. So what time was that at 4:45?
Yeah. No, I left.
Pretty much.
I was in Richmond. There was two accidents on that stretch, on that 80 stretch. And after that, it was pretty smooth sailing, but it was a pain after that.
Dennis texted and said, I'm here, is it too early? I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, he quit. Yeah. Nice. I was still walking.
But I think we're coming after the Jaguars game, which I found out today that Comcast does not offer Sunday ticket. So you I had to watch the Red Zone channel. So there was as many updates as I could get within there.
Yeah. So we got to get the
I'll send you the link to where I stream all of my games from. It's better.
Don't say it on air.
Yeah. No. NFL knocking on our door right now.
But we are on the Jagwagon.
Yes.
Right? I don't know if Julio's partially on the Jagwagon.
I'm on the Niner.
Dennis and I are all in on the Jagwagon.
All in Jagwagon.
Super Bowl bound.
Yes.
Wait, didn't you guys say, I think one of the jokes on the text thread was at midnight you guys were going to put it all on the Jags? Did you guys end up doing that? In Vegas?
No. I have no idea what happened at midnight.
Yeah.
We were eating pizza, burning my mouth.
No, that was later than that, I think.
Was it?
Yeah. I don't know what time it was until I looked at my phone the next day and followed the series of texts.
Yeah. That was fun, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a good time.
I didn't think you'd need to take a week off afterwards, but we were there for 24 hours.
Dude, my back was killing me from being hunched over a blackjack table for hours. My wisdom tooth was killing me, and I got sick. It was crazy. Just beat me up.
You got to massage the blackjack table.
Oh, I did. Yeah, but she was not that great.
Somehow he was perfectly fine to go to the Distillers concert.
Yeah, I did go to a concert.
I did. That was funny, too, because I was partially delirious. And but it was a good show. I bought the tickets in May, so I couldn't, not go.
Nick was like, look, he said he was sick.
I know. I was like, no. I mean, come on. sick. Sick.
But Jim, I think Jim's afraid you're still sick because he's not here.
Yeah, that's all right.
He bailed.
So, but today we're going to be talking about regrets. So we're going to make sure Jim regrets not being here.
Exactly.
Best episode ever.
I went and got a salad on the way and then walked in. There was a big bag of donuts on the table.
I did.
So I regret eating those.
Yeah. No, you don't. You only ate 3/4 of one. That's good.
Going home to have pizza in a minute.
That's some good discipline.
So,
all right.
Do you have any regrets?
In life, in general?
In life, in general. I only speak in generality. So.
Well, let's focus on business ones. How about that?
Okay.
Jobs. I'd say Zappos was not a regret, but what I learned. So the lesson learned from Zappos was two of them. One, three of them. One, fuck it, just do it. Right, anything's possible. Just do it. Two was maximize your days and what you have access to. Right.
Yeah.
So I stress, but I'm never lazy. I don't know. I'm always just kind of a little bit of whatever, and whatever's interesting to me is what I focus on. So my biggest regret from Zappos is just looking back and thinking all the people that I met, within the football industry, right, could develop relationships with. Yeah. All the people I worked with. Could have developed relationships with more of them. And then all the like things I was exposed to, not like sitting across from you, but like that I was exposed to, as far as like
flu viruses.
Yeah. Just like watching this business grow so fast and get so big. And a lot of it, I was just like, I'm not going to that meeting. I'm not interested. Or I'd sit in the meeting and go, why the fuck am I in this meeting, right? Or yeah. It was beyond me, right? So it wasn't something where I could jump in. There's someone else better at it. I lost interest because I was like, I want to do shit. I don't want to hear about shit. So I was like, I didn't sit there and ask and learn. And, you know, so I didn't maximize the knowledge that I left with, or knowledge transfer, whatever. I could have learned from vendors, employees, meetings, investors, all that stuff, more than I did.
Do you think that would have caused a different outcome?
No. It wouldn't have changed anything except like for me personally, right?
Yeah.
So it would have given me a different perspective later, or maybe I would have learned some things that would have been useful in future companies or relationships that could have accelerated things, or it mostly would have just been interesting, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of one of those like, it was interesting you asked that because I hadn't thought of it until now, but that was kind of more, my approach was always like, well, how's that going to help me? I was sitting in this meeting talking about this going to help me. Like, I'm not going to be the one in charge of this. So I don't want to just sit there for support or this, that, and the other, right? Whereas I think as you get older, you're more just interested and curious in things, kind of like, huh, that'd be interesting to know the answer to that, right? Or more situations for me at least come up where I'm like, I probably know something about that. I've probably been through it on some level, but I didn't really pay attention, so I don't know what the fuck, you know, the answer is. So I think that was a big regret there. But I guess perspective, right? There was, you know, there's some times, I mean, it worked out great, but there's times where a lot of us felt like we couldn't really judge, and I think I've said this before, so I'll repeat myself, but we couldn't judge, what do we have here? You know, like it felt like something that might go out of business the next day, or we could still fuck up, or you'd focus on the lack of profitability or the credit line being about to burst or the fact that we had so much stuff we couldn't sell in the warehouse, and you'd focus on those things and you'd kind of like not stop, take a step back and realize, but it's still, the volume we're doing is crazy. There's not that many people doing this. Like there's still, I don't know, I guess just balancing. One of the good things about us, I think, is no one really ever got super cocky or like, oh, we've got it figured out or we know what we're doing. But the bad thing was we were constantly just stressing, right?
Yeah.
And so perspective, like even decisions of people, myself included at times, of like, you know, someone come in and be like, I want to buy some stock on the secondary market. And you'd be like, yeah, we should sell that some because this thing might never fucking be worth anything, right? Or, oh, it's going to take fucking forever. Although I'd probably go back and still do the same thing. But in theory, there was a lot of perspectives. Like when I think back as Apple's, I'm kind of draw blank. Like I have like, I don't, and also because it was fucking 20 to, or 19 to 12 years ago, the
window
scope of it that I was there. So I don't really remember much from 12 years ago, except the little fun parts. So that was that on Zappos. I think.
Is there any event in when you start your new businesses that you regret, that you feel like, man, if I would have taken the opportunity, I would have learned something back then at the Zappos days that I could now apply here, but because I didn't pay attention or wasn't really interested in it?
I think mostly the financial side, right? Like I could have spent more time understanding like the finance, accounting, business side of it. Just even understanding, I could vaguely understand a spreadsheet. I mean, I knew what was going on, but I couldn't like, I never really analyzed it or never thought like, oh, if we tweak this or if we tweak that, or how does this affect that, right? So I think there's things there where, and I think this happened to, you know, other people that left Zappos also that started companies since then, was there was this thought in hindsight that like, well, it wasn't working, but we just kept it alive. And we just kept it alive to the point where it got bigger, even though it still wasn't profitable. The most important thing was just putting more money to it, keeping it alive. And at some point, it became valuable to someone, yeah. And they bought it, right? And then I think, for example, both with Dethrone and with Basecamp and with Stagger, which I did right after, there was a little bit of that involved, of like not understanding exactly, every time when you put more money into it, not understanding exactly, you know, not having super defined specific goals of what it was for, what the outcome was going to be, what to do if it wasn't creating the outcome you wanted. It was more just vague, like, I'll put money in and we'll use it for this, instead of like whittling down what this is, or just, well, fuck, I don't want to deal with this, put more money in, I don't want to deal with this, put more money in. So it wasn't until later I realized it kind of created that, like, just continuing to throw money at something can solve it, it'll just keep going, getting bigger. But sometimes in those cases it didn't. In the case of, I think the other thing it probably did a little bit for me was, at Zappos there was times where, like, my gut was wrong, right? So there was times where I'd be like, this doesn't make sense, or we shouldn't do that, and blah, 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 blah. And someone else would be saying, yeah, we should. Mm-hmm. Or multiple people, or, you know, or some people agree with me. But, like, there was enough times where I was wrong, right? So I thought, this is a bad idea. Turned out to be a good idea. Or we shouldn't do that, but we should do that. Or we should do this, but we really shouldn't have. That it made me, I guess, a little wishy-washy on... Sometimes, like, I definitely didn't leave thinking I'm always right. Yeah. So it was harder for me to latch onto a goal and be like, this is exactly how we're going to do it, and this is the best way to do it, right? I was more like, hey, which is, I think, a good thing, but, like, there's just as good a chance that everyone else in the room has the best idea than me, right, of how to do this, right? And so, but at times that hurts, because sometimes people or a company needs, like, someone to be like, this is where we're going, this is why, this is how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
So I think, like, with Dethrone, we spent a lot of money sponsoring fighters, creating product, doing that kind of stuff. And it worked, but it didn't work. So, like, it would drive revenue. We're getting the name out there, but we weren't spending it, like, efficiently, right? Like, we were just, this guy wants how much? Okay, let's pay him that, because that'll be a lot of exposure. Okay, cool. We'll probably sell a bunch of shirts. And then we know that we're not going to sell enough shirts to cover the expense. We'll worry about that later. Maybe we will, you know. And then I think with Basecamp, we started off with a vision. And then, or I started off with a vision. And then, but I wasn't really sure what to do with that vision, right? I was like, I think this is a great workout. I think this will make a good gym. But I don't know, should we go upscale, should we go bare bones, should we go, like, built out like SoulCycle, or should we go kind of like warehouse like CrossFit, should we? And it wasn't that I didn't know, I just thought they're all good ideas, right? Or should we franchise, which is what we started doing initially, right? We went down this path, and I had met Mark Masteroff, who was the founder of 24-Hour Fitness, at a Warriors game, and he had told me, yeah, franchising is the way, just come, you know, like, just build one. And he introduced us to Ben Midgley, who was the president of Crunch, and he came over and helped us, and was a lawyer, and we started doing our FDDs. But the feedback from everyone was, yeah, this is definitely a franchisable concept. It's just not ready yet. Like, your gym looks like you built a gym in your garage, right? You decorated it, like, for yourself, and you got 15 shades of blue and instead of one, and you just got to get everything tight, and then you'll be able to franchise. All right. But then we hired a CEO and a COO, and they were like, no, we need to really establish who we are, and we also we don't want to franchise, we want to, like, build our own gyms, because we'll maximize our income and our revenue and all that, right? And both seem like good ideas. So but I think the good news is kind of like the letting things flow and just like, all right, well, fuck it, let's try that. The bad news is, should have, like, really sat down, picked one direction, and personally, like, learned what I really wanted to do as, I guess, the leader, right? And I, what I realized, I was thinking about this on the drive over for some reason, is, like, So every time you say like you would have done something differently, in a weird way, it implies like someone else did something wrong and you're saying, oh, in hindsight, I could have done that better. But that's not really true. It's like, at least in my case, what I'm saying is there are things I would have changed about anything. Zappos, Dethrone, Basecamp, all those things I would change things in hindsight that I think would have led to better outcomes. But that doesn't mean that, like, I think someone else fucked it up or made bad decision, right? Like, it's kind of like, I was thinking of an example of a basketball. Like, if we're, me and Julio are playing you and someone.
Jim.
You and Jim. And we're at Jim. I mean, he's already forgot about him. He's not fucking here.
Like, who's that guy? There's an easy name here.
Right. So me and Julio are playing you and Jim, right?
Yeah, Joe.
We'd win.
And we're tied.
Yeah.
And the next bucket wins. And I'm like, I'm coming down. I'm kind of open. Julio's wide open. And I pass him the ball. And he misses the shot, right? And maybe like my shot was like kind of open, but it was a relatively easy shot. I pass it to him. It's wide open, but maybe he's wide open because he's fucking 50 feet from the basket. Whatever it is, right? But he misses. So after the game, we lose because of this. And if I say, way to go, fucking Julio.
Yeah.
What's weird is everyone can, I mean, this feels so real, right? This does not.
I'm actually getting, I'm getting upset.
This right doesn't now feel hypothetical or far-fetched at all.
I'm high-fiving Joe. What's his name? Joe? Jim?
Joe. Yeah. So to repeat, so Julio misses the game winner, right? Wide open game winner. And so say afterwards, you and I are talking.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I thought you guys had it. And I'm like, yeah, I should have taken that shot. Well, Julio might take that to mean, what the fuck? You're blaming me for missing that shot? Like, I was 50 feet from the basket. You passed me the ball. What do you want me to do? I had to fucking shoot it. But I wouldn't be blaming him. I'd just be saying, I had the ball. It was my decision. I, in hindsight, I should have just shot the ball because I had an easier shot. Even if someone's kind of guarding me, I could have shot it and made it.
Yeah.
Right? So it's kind of the same thing where you're not saying, oh, Julio, you fucked it up. Because I pass you the ball and you missed the shot. I'm just saying sometimes you have to, you learn or you look back and you say, if I would have had an opinion that I have now at the time, right? I could have just been like, no, this is what we're doing. And then that way you eliminate wondering like, if we would have done it my way, would it have worked? You just take your shot and see what happens. But that's also assuming that your shot is more important or better than anyone else's shot, right? But from each person's own perspective, right, you could sometimes pass the ball because you think, nah, Julio's got, we talked about it in the fucking timeout, Julio's got a better chance of making this. I agree. We're going to go out there. We're going to run this play for Julio. He's going to fucking shoot it. Yes. In that case, if he misses it, he missed it. You know, we there was no question. Like, I was guarded. I did what I was supposed to do. Passed the ball to Julio. We thought that was the best option. He shot it. But, like, it versus the other way where I'm kind of open and I'm kind of like, I should take this shot, but I'm not sure that I should take this shot, you know? And I'm like, what if I miss? Oh, fuck, what if I miss? You know what? Here, fucking Julio, you deal with this shit. And then he takes it.
It's kind of, I got to walk off.
And and so now it's like,
drops a donut. You know, like, what? What?
So by passing him the ball, I've made the decision. So I can't complain if he misses now because I fucking passed the ball to him.
Yeah.
Hold on, but taking a step further, then the next time around, do you still pass the ball?
It depends. But in that scenario, right? So I passed you the ball. So I can't complain, but I find you'll leave yourself wondering, well, what would have happened if I shot?
There you go.
You know, would I have made it, right? So it's the same thing. You come to a decision. If you don't, if you feel very strongly one way or the other, then you're like, this is what we're doing, or this is what I think we should do. But if you're kind of like, I don't feel confident enough in anything to say this is exactly what we're doing. So here, let's try it your way. Then you find yourself maybe where you're, you could later regret it, but it's an individual regret. It's not a company-wide regret. Like, the other person who missed the shot, they did everything they were supposed to do. Sometimes shit just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Or shit turns out a certain way. It's not even that it doesn't work, right? like, Basecamp is working well. So when I look at regrets of Basecamp, it's not... It's comparing, like, apples to oranges, right? Well, oranges. So, like, when we started, if we were franchising, sometimes you'd stop and look, and you go, hey, we have 5 locations. Orange Theory has, I don't even know how many. They started a little, maybe a year and a half, 2 years before us. But like, if 5 years ago we had started franchising, how many franchises would we have? So it's natural to think those things.
Yeah.
At the same time, would we have been ready? Like, maybe we'd have a bunch of shitty franchises. Maybe we'd had a bunch of franchises where the first ones didn't work because we hadn't figured out exactly who we were. We weren't ready to support them. So that might not have been a better thing, right? But you just wonder, you know, I think it's natural. Like, so a regret doesn't always have to mean that you fucked something up. It just means there was another option, and you wonder in hindsight, what would have happened if we took the other option, right? Like, and then say we take the option we took. The option we took is open our own gyms, right? And I say, I don't know. I've never run a gym, right? I don't want to deal with fucking contractors and building this shit out. And
yeah,
I'm not a, you know, let's make fucking 100 calls a day and see if we can get some new members. Kind of, you know, that's not my strength. So you say, okay, here, and someone else says, no, I got this. Don't worry, I got this. All right, you got it. You fucking shoot. And then, you know, but then say in base camps, for example, the only thing we would change really is we spent probably twice as much as we needed to opening studios on the actual cost of building out a studio. So if you could take the same business, have the same results, same people, everything, you know, but by saying like, oh, I wish we hadn't spent so much opening the last four gyms, you can have that regret without, and some people might take it to be like, oh, thinks I did shit. No, it just means I regret that part. You know, you can regret something without regretting the whole thing. But again, it probably goes back to what Zappos, if I would have spent, you know, you don't even realize the time, if I'd gone back and I would have gotten more involved, even just as a fly on the wall in like accounting and finance conversations, thinking to yourself, this probably come in handy one day. Right, when I was at AutoWeb, I started in customer service. This is my second job, you know, I was 2 years out of college, and I was like, starting customer service, didn't know anything about the internet, and was just like, what the fuck is going on here? Everyone's so excited, anything seems possible. So I got moved over from customer service to like marketing coordinator. And then as a marketing coordinator, I realized my boss seems overwhelmed and I don't really give a shit about AutoWeb.
Yeah.
Or I'm not that interested in this business, but I am very, very interested in trying to figure out if I could start a similar kind of business, some kind of internet company. So then I reached out and said, hey, you know, if you want to just send me all the spreadsheets and all the everything about like what we're spending on marketing, what we're doing, blah, 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 I'm more than happy to analyze it for you or keep track. Is there anything you want me to track? Or, you know, basically, can I take any fucking grunt work off your plate that has to do with some kind of fucking spreadsheet, which will help me understand what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
But I had a very specific goal at that point of like, let me try to learn something here that might help me when I try to start something on my own. But I didn't. I didn't take that same approach to everything, right? So in that scenario, it was helpful to my boss, and also I was going to be learning something. Now there's still a weird gray area there because like, my motivation to help was not 100% to take stuff off her plate. It was also to go start something else. But it wasn't to start a competitor, so it wasn't fucked up. But if I would have taken that approach to every area of Zappos, then that would have benefited me in the long run. Now the weird thing there is, I wasn't the entry level person asking someone above me, hey, could you teach me some shit? I would have been at the top asking people like, hey, let me sit in here and learn from you, which in hindsight now would be totally normal. I would feel totally comfortable about doing that now.
Yeah.
But at the time it was kind of like, yeah, you didn't, that I just wasn't in me or how I was thinking or what I wanted to do. It was just more like, oh, that'd be a fucking weird. They'd think I was an idiot because they'd be like, I just got to, you know, pretend I know some of this shit or I just not really interested in it anyway. So the biggest problem was not being interested because not having the perspective of like, I didn't understand, I don't think during Zappos, that it was an abnormal experience.
Yeah.
I just thought it was today. Well, today, I got some days I'm excited, some days I'm not. Fuck, you know, like it is what it is.
Yeah. But
I wasn't thinking of how I could put it all together. But yeah, that's the, so I think there'll always be things you regret. Now I'm just trying to, so what I would try to take from those is like, A, you know, even dealing with potential investors at the moment for Basecamp, there's still a lot of shit when I look at a spreadsheet and I'm like, holy fuck, you know, could someone summarize this for me? And like, what does all this shit mean? Why is there so many lines? And like, this is overkill.
Yeah.
Give me fucking five lines that I can take a look at, right? But I'm a little more aware of like trying to like, you know, keep looking things up or looking things up or ask more questions or
keep exposing yourself to it to be able to, until it absorbs.
And I noticed the the more questions I ask either out loud or myself and research it, then the more it's like instantly valuable, because then it's like the next step in the negotiation, you have more things to ask or you're looking at things a different way.
Yeah.
Because my natural instinct is always going to be just to default to, whatever, it's cool. It's not a big deal. I don't worry about that one. I don't know if I can deal with that. Whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's actually in a weird way, even with the Basecamp potential investors, it's probably hard for them too, because that's how I have been most of the time. It's cool. I'm not too worried about that. Whatever. Or just like not objecting strongly to anything.
Yeah.
But always in my head thinking, well, at the end, or when it gets to the end, I'll ask a bunch of questions. You know, so then it probably seems like, what the fuck, dude? You've been
3 weeks ago. You should have
worked. And now you're like being kind of a dick and asking all these questions. It's like, I just, you know, whatever. Which gets back to the whole, why are we here? You know, like you're here to get this done, not here to like have everyone think, oh, he's nice. He doesn't give a shit. He's not gonna be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, which is a total opposite.
Yeah, complete pain in the ass. Jesus.
Is there a way to learn from regret before getting to the regret?
Depends, right? Like then everyone has those dreams, right? Where you wake up and you're just like, oh, fuck, thank fucking God that was just a dream. And I didn't really just, you know, fuck all this up or make bad decisions or those things, right?
It's like, yeah.
So I think that's the hope. The hope is that you always, you know, learn from little regrets in order to avoid a giant regret.
Yeah.
It's like I think part of it is being super self-aware of what's happening to you or around you at the time. I think you made a comment to me last week about how people keep telling you how self-aware you are. I was like, yeah, I think it's pretty self-aware, but you don't realize it, just because for you it's just, you know, a comment coming from a friend or from, you know, an outsider. But, you know, for those of us who work with you, you go, yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be weird. I mean, like, what you don't want is the thing that sneaks up on you, right? When you're like, wait, what? Everyone's fucking quitting? Why? What the fuck? What do you mean I'm an asshole that doesn't seem interested? I'm totally fucking interested in, you know, Dennis is the asshole.
What? Totally nice.
I
always thought that, I always go through this, like, spells of, like, if I'm not liking where I'm at, I got to start changing everything that I'm doing or things that I'm doing, because obviously everything I'm doing is leading me to how I am now.
Yeah.
So hence camping, greatest experience ever. But by going camping and trying to do different things and stuff like that, I think it always opens your mind up to try new things. And, you know, cause I have regrets too. So
yeah. What are they?
You know, a bunch, whatever.
Let's not get into those.
Let's get into that. We're not talking about it right now.
I mean, I think he's
I think he wants to.
Yeah, he's like extending
the future. Okay.
Like,
okay.
Ask me again.
Yeah, try it again one more time. No, I think I have a few regrets. I think the one thing that I think I learned doing the podcast is the, listening to your gut, you know, when, being honest with yourself. I mean, like a previous company, I help startup and stuff like that, there was a lot of red flags I was seeing, but I never opened my mouth because I was like, no way is, you know, it's gonna work out that way, you know, like, oh, you're a partner, oh, came time to sell the company, you're not a partner and you're out.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like stuff like that, that's just kind of, I didn't trust my gut and I gave too much benefit of the doubt to people. So I think as I got older, I think I'm more aware and trying to be more aware of my gut, pretty much. Yeah. So
it's hard. I mean, because it's like, especially like, if you're like a nice guy,
yeah,
it just feels combative sometimes to even. It's just easier to be like, that's cool, whatever. You know, there's like it just feels weird to keep asking. But then, yeah, it sucks when the warning flags are going off and there's like alarm sounds in your head and you're like, keep asking. You're like, nah, I don't think. I mean, we had we were talking about a deal once and they were talking about equity, right? So they were saying, you'd get some equity in this deal. And I was like, all right, it could be interesting. Well, equity was equity, right? Well, when it came down to it, their thoughts of equity was not the same as mine. Like their thought of equity was, well, it's not like the same as our equity or like real equity. It's not like, like our equity, we can do this, 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 and this with it. Yours is more equity where if this one thing happens,
you'll get
you can
it.
Kind of do this, you know? And it was
wow,
like,
that's a great deal.
Yeah, it was just like, what the fuck? It was a big reminder to me to like, well, let's not like fucking not ask, right? Let's like,
yeah,
we exactly. got to ask and like define these things. But the podcast has been, I mean, the podcast is like, I found it like super useful just for like thinking and talking and like that kind of shit.
Well, it kind of forces, well, for me, it forces me to think about or talk about things that I normally wouldn't think or talk about, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And usually the ones where afterwards it's like, ah, fuck, hope we don't post that. Usually those are, I don't know if they're good or interesting, but like they're the most helpful.
Yeah.
But the, what do you regret, Julio?
Everything. The yeah. donut that I just ate.
Yeah, I'm kind of regretting the one I had.
Well, you guys see it more from a business owner perspective. You have your own business, obviously. You have your own. As an employee, most of the time, the regrets come from. I don't know. I don't think I've had one experience. I feel where it was right after I was working with the Dragons, and I went to go look for another job where I was put in a situation where I had to choose a position. A management position as opposed to a position where it's more entry level, but at the same time it was more in my comfort zone. And at the time when you're looking for a job, you're just like, okay, I'll take the first thing that comes around and just, you know, try to make some money. So I went with the upper management position, which was fun.
Wait, comfort zone is more like your comfort zone, like it'll be easier, or more like you're passionate, like it'll be fun and you're interested in it?
That it was in sports. So we had just been working with the Dragons, obviously, and my background's in sports journalism, so it was going to be an easier fit. And the other one was a position for a nonprofit, which I had never worked for a nonprofit. It was for a very worthy cause.
Well, that's not true. We've got a lot of projects that are not profitable. And the Dragons was not profitable. So the Dragons was a non-profit.
A nice donation to the community.
For a 501c3 is where I was working. So it was like, should I take this or the other? And then I went based on, I didn't follow my gut. I went with something that I felt like was going to make me more money. It was still going to be a challenge, but at the same time, it was going to right some immediate wrongs, as opposed to trying to think of it long term of where I was going to be and what line of work I wanted to do. And so I went with that, and it turned out to be, it was a learning experience, obviously. But it didn't last as long as it could have because I didn't pay attention to some of the red flags. I was just like, and in discussions with people who, were important to me at the time, and I just felt pressure to go one way as opposed to the one where I felt like it was the right way to go.
Yeah.
So that's probably the biggest regret. As
that's the worst too, when people like are telling you that, you know, these are some red flags.
Well, no, I mean, like I saw them as red flags, and the other person that I was talking to at the time was like, ah, you're overthinking it. This is a no-brainer for you. I'm like, no, it's not. This is a real big brainer for me because I got to pick somewhere I'm going to end up for, you know. And there was a lot of other factors too. I mean, there was the pay factor that was involved with it. So trying to make more money, which was a significant percentage. So all those things made sense to go that way. But then at the end of the day, you know, the other job lasted, what, 6-7 months? And then there's a chance that if I was had gone the other route, I'd probably still be working there because, again, it was more
now
something.
Now the true regret comes out.
There you go. Now I'm working.
Then you wouldn't be here.
I'm working at Fader Brands.
took a while to get there.
But here, to go back. You guys are joking around, but that's why it's not a huge regret, because ultimately everything leads you back to where you're supposed to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if you're able to get the lesson from that experience, which, again, we've talked about at length already, but if you get the lesson from then it isn't as big of a regret.
Yeah.
If I had a time machine to go back, I'd probably still take that job, but then I would have, once I got there, I would have done a lot more learning.
Yeah.
Like right out of the gate, as opposed to just trying to like feel like a fish out of water and being trying to fake it and make it at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it would have been a good place to grow into. But again, if you learn the lesson, it's not as regretful as, you know, led me here. So I'm happy here.
Yeah.
I do think everyone ends up or not. I mean, everything happens. Everything happens because it's the best thing that could happen, but it doesn't mean there's not a better thing that could happen.
Yeah. Like, true.
It probably does mean that, but like, but I feel like you'll always end up, or you'll always come to the same point of realization. It's just you could get there faster, different ways, you know?
Yeah.
And so the challenge is just like get there. There's a stress that you'll realize things too late. And they're out, and then you can look at that one of two ways. No, you're going to realize shit when you were supposed to realize it.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, you realize it a little bit. You realize it later than you could have if you went a different path, but you still realized it, and you're still,
yeah,
you're still fine, you know? Time is a whole another weird thing.
Yeah. I think I regret wasting time. I think that's one regret when I start wasting time. And you go.
But then there's probably some argument. Actually, there might not be this argument, but you could probably think to yourself, like as you get older, the things that you like think like, oh, I wish I didn't take so long to realize this, or I wasted so much time doing that. That process probably will like increase how productive or how much you enjoy those things now, right? So say maybe it's things where you've always done them, and you're like, ah, it's fucking whatever, I've always done that. Yeah. Versus like you didn't and you went the wrong way, and all of a sudden you're like, this is so awesome, but it wouldn't have been that awesome if you like. So I figured like, you know, that's. But then. Again, I do believe that everything happens the way it's supposed to happen, but I think it's probably more like you would hate to find out that there's like this fucking choose your own adventure where if you follow your gut more often than not, then everything will happen because it's the best thing that could happen. You'll end up that way. But if you continually refuse to follow your gut, even when you've time after time been shown to you that like your gut would have been right, then I feel like at some point there might be like, all right, dude, enough. We tried to get you to the fucking right place and we couldn't. Yeah. So go fuck yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're just trying to avoid that.
Yeah. Ever heard that one Frank Mir quote? It's Frank Mir, the fighter. Yeah. He had this one quote. I don't know where he got it from, but it was, he says, hell is finding out what you could have been.
Damn.
I was like, ouch.
Frank Mir just lose a fight somewhere.
I don't know.
He might have. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, but it's also like, you know, you can, I would imagine if there was no ability to change anything, then they wouldn't have like programmed us to have the ability to have regrets.
That's true. Right?
The reason we're able to regret things and wish we'd done things differently is basically so we can fucking do them differently moving forward or do them now. So again, yeah, I feel like, it's also like those things don't even exist.
Yeah.
You know, like they're fucking a long time. They already happened.
Yeah.
Right. So like it's this weird thing. Like really all we're trained to do is everything we've done is just so right now, which just fucking disappeared. But right now we can just make the best decisions.
Yeah.
Eat the damn donut, Dennis.
Yeah. And I was going to say, like, do what we want to do, but it's not even that, right? It's just things keep happening to steer us towards some fucking direction. So there's no one that says, you know, I mean, look at the, I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about now. Maybe the sugar's getting to me. But, like, the,
it wasn't too much of it.
Could be the broccoli. But the, broccoli I did have a salad right before that. But it could have been that, I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, think about it. Like, even the people where you're, like, any step along the way, you're like, oh, I wish I could be that person. I wish I could be that person. I wish I could be that person. And then where do these fucking people end up? You know? Yeah. And so it's like, I think it's all just showing us like there's no path. There's no, if this and this happens, doesn't mean you'll be happy. If this and this happens, doesn't mean you'll never be happy. It's just fucking keep trying shit.
Yeah.
Like I was, like we talked about it before. Like I went walking with my wife today and she was talking about something. And I'm like, let's just start as much shit as we can. You know?
Like, show up on Monday, we have 12 projects
like
to work.
She's like, you know, like and we were just, it was kind of talking about like, it's too much. I'm like, what is there a better time than now? Like, we just fucking try as much shit as we can.
Yeah.
What's the fucking, like, what's the worst thing that could happen? Oh, shit, we tried too much stuff. Look at the fuck.
I mean, I'm the same boat with my wife. We're trying to travel as much as we can.
Just do it.
Everywhere we can, so. I got a few trips planned before end of the year.
Do you have any investment regrets, like opportunities that you were presented with that nowadays, or, you know, without getting too specific, I suppose, but anything that came your way, were like, fuck, I could have.
No, I mean, more like, I think I've told the story before when Ken came on, Ken Martin, when he got the friends and family shares of
eBay,
and he didn't have enough money to
buy it. Oh, yeah, you have told him.
So he bought half of it, and then he was like, I got to pay rent, dude. Let's sell it.
I'll tell you what I regret. Bitcoin. Hey, you seen the stocks? Terrible. It went up from my small investment, went up to 25,000. And I was like, nah, people are saying it's 50,000. And then hold out. Slowly came down, 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 hit 8. I was like, shit, right back to where I started. Dropped down to 6. I'm like, I'm out.
And dude, my whole Bitcoin experience was like a chaotic like 3 weeks of like, what the fuck? How come I never even thought about this shit? All right, I'll buy some. Oh, like it went up a little bit. Oh shit, it's going down. I'm out. Fuck it. I don't want to be checking my phone. I got enough things I check it on my phone all the time. Yeah. I don't want to be checking fucking the price of fucking Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But the I think investment wise, I don't really invest in the main things. I've invested in like a handful of things ever. No, I mean, everyone will, you know, so like Maurice Claret always says, what does he say? Like,
is he like a pseudo coach now? Would you say
he is without even knowing it?
Right? Yeah.
Sending invoice. We're fucking
sending invoice. We're trying to be disciples. No, but he said the thing about something about never watch another man's money,
or don't count another man's
money. Don't count another man's money. And it's like, so yeah, there's times when you're like, oh, shit, like it'd be cool to be in like the fucking good old boys club or whatever it is that fucking gets in on all the cool deals.
Yeah.
You know, but like, all right, I don't want to go to fucking, if be allowed in, but B, I don't want to go to 4,000 cocktail parties to get in on this thing, right?
Yeah, I will.
And
I
like,
will for sure.
Because then you think, oh man, could have done this.
Ken is your representative. He's like, oh yeah, just send me. I'll go.
You know, you think like, oh, look at, I don't know. So most investment things, I mean, yes and no. I remember I bought a house once and then I wanted to move. So I bought another house. I was like, we should probably sell the other house. Because I bought the other one before selling it. And then the market was down, so we sold it, right? Sold it for like 75% of what we bought it for. Because we just wanted to get out of it. Because we figured, who knows where shit's market going. And I remember going in a meeting. Actually, it was the Warriors. It was way back when we were sponsoring the Warriors it was when we were doing Jimga, when we were filming the videos, I think. And some guy walks in. He was the head of something. And in the paper, it had said, like, you know, it just lists the real estate deals, and so it had our names and sold it to these people, and here's how much they bought it for, and here's how much they sold it for. And I thought it was so weird. I walked to this meeting in Oakland. The guy's like, name sounds familiar. You just sell your house? I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. The fucking is there?
We've all been talking about this
house. Yeah, he's all well, that didn't go very well. It was just like, wait. So then I was like, okay, well, like, is that if I would
have you're the story around the campfire. The,
you know, I had a
oh my God.
I had at Zappos, there was a point, I think I've talked about this before too, where there was a point where I thought the stock wasn't going to be worth anything. So I had agreed to sell some shares to a couple people. And not that I didn't think it was going to be worth anything. That and just like, you know, I had all my money in one thing. I just wanted to diversify. So I agreed to sell it to a couple people. And there was one guy that I didn't know. He was like a friend of a friend, friend of the friend of the whoever the fuck I was selling it to. So he had the right to buy like, I don't remember what it was, like X amount of shares. And he went out of town. So he had to buy them by a certain date. Say it was by like October 30th, right? And the Zappos council was texting me like, hey, you know, did you get that? Did he send the check yet? I was like, no, I don't even know. She goes, do you know him? I go, I don't fucking know him. She's like, I go, but I think he's out of town. He's going to get back like the week after. She's like, you know, the stock's trending a little differently right now. I was like, what do you mean? She goes, you don't have to sell him this stock. Like, you don't know him. He missed his deadline. I'm like, I mean, I told him I'd fucking sell him the stock, whatever. And she's like, I'm just saying you don't have to sell him the stock, if you know what I mean. Like, there's some stuff, the stock... Stock, you might want to keep it. And I was like,
why?
I'm like, no, I'm good. I told the guy, I'd fucking, you know, if it was reversed, right? And he told me he was going to buy it. And then I said, hey, dude, can you send me the money next week? And he said, no, I told you I'd send it by this day and you were, you know, whatever. Or I'm traveling. I couldn't get him my bank account number. I figured, no, the right thing to do. I still don't even know his name is. So I sold it to him. And then it was like maybe 3 months later when Amazon bought Zappos, yeah. Right? She was like, I was trying to tell you is I knew, I had heard that, you know, the board had said, had told Alfred, go reach out to fucking Amazon and see if they'll buy the company because you guys are, this is not going to work on your own. She goes, so I knew that like, oh shit, there's a chance. She goes, I couldn't tell you. I was trying to tell you.
Because that would be illegal.
Yeah. But I was trying to tell you. And so a little bit, I was like, wait, what the fuck? So I don't even know this guy. I just gave this guy, I could have said no. And I remember when she was telling me, I was thinking, I don't really need that money. It wasn't like that much. And it wasn't going to be like, I don't, you know, it was, he was kind of adding on to whoever else I sold it to. And I was like, ugh. Nah, but I don't want to be a dick. I told the guy, he, yeah. You know, I didn't, when I agreed to sell it to him, it wasn't based on like, but I have to have it in the bank by this day. You know, yeah. It was just, that was just technicalities. So I let him buy it. And then he had a fucking quick turnaround of it being worth probably like twice as much as it was when I sold it to him. But I regretted that for a bit. Actually, I didn't regret that for a bit. For a while, I was kind of pissed that someone should have told me. But then told me what? Like, it was not a big sale. No, not, I didn't tell. It's not like the people who knew that I was even fucking selling this.
Yeah.
So I guess I would regret that in a way. But then, even those things, I think, even when you regret things, you regret it. Why? You know? Because like, oh, because I would have an incremental amount more money than I would have anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't going to change anything. But then I think in a weird way, it's like, those are more like little tests, right? It's more like this decision, like, hey, how are you going to be, right? Like, are you going to, if you tell someone, you're going to sell them something, are you going to sell it to them? Or are you going to tell someone, yeah, we have a deal. And then if, you know, someone gives you pause, you're going to be like, sorry, we don't have a deal anymore, you know? So I kind of looked at it like, a dumbass decision, right? That if I could go back, if I went back and I knew exactly what the deadline was and what was going to happen in the future, then I would have, it's not like I'm a fucking moral, whatever the fuck the word is. I would say, hey dude, sorry, you missed your fucking deadline. I'm not selling it to you.
Yeah.
But then the fact that I didn't change my mind when my gut was telling me, I should probably try and tell you something. You should probably change your mind. Still in a way, like, was a good experience for me because it made me realize, dude, it is what it is. I told the fucking guy I'd do it.
Yeah, you kept your word. That's like,
yeah, like
it your felt moral, like, your moral compass.
I don't even know who he is, you know, but it felt like, all right.
Congratulations, dude, wherever you are.
Whoever you are.
So that was a really fucking long way of explaining that story. Yeah, so I think we're always going to have regrets. And they're just trying to make us make better decisions in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So
I hope to have more regrets tonight when I hit the casino.
Yeah, you bet on the wrong team. I was just trying to tell you, bet on the fucking right team next time.
Did I tell you what happened on the way? Like, after we left the craps table? Did we leave the craps table, I think? Was that the last game we played
before we went? No. Blackjack.
Oh, we went back to blackjack?
Oh, wait. No, we did go to craps. Yeah, craps.
Yeah, craps. And then on the way back, I was like, all right, I broke even.
On the way back, what?
To the room.
Yeah.
You know, we split up and I was going back to my room. And then on the way back, I was like, man, he's like, I'm even now. I got all my money back. Everything's paid for. But it'd be nice to be ahead $100. So I go on the blackjack table or roulette, threw $100 on black, right? Lose it. And then, you know, a little voice on my shoulder is like, oh man, you can't go back. Just get your money back. Yeah, he's like, come on, you fucking pussy.
What are you here for?
It's like, hey, what are you going to walk away? You're just going to let him do that to you? And I was like, yeah, you're right. And then I threw another $100, lost again. I'm like, ah! Every single time I walk back from to the hotel room, I start gambling on the way there.
Well, the next one, you got to throw $200.
Well, I was going to, but then I was like, all right, let's not be a moron that much. And just go to sleep. So
what always happens to me when I go gambling is like, I'm going to fucking go huge. I'm going to gamble so much money. This is going to be awesome. And then you get down to it and he's like, what the fuck? Why? this is stupid, you know, like you.
Oh, it's the rush.
Yeah. No, but I mean, you still gamble, but the idea of just like going gigantic out of the gates on blackjack never makes sense to me. I could just never, I'm always like, it seems like a great idea, but I guess it's the risk reward. So you look at it and you go, in order to go huge, you're risking X. And even if you said like, you're going to double your money. If so, no, I'm not going to, I'd rather have X than have fucking 2X. I'd rather have X than have 0 or 2X. Yeah. So I always end up like with too much money in my pocket. Like basically, like I'm always like, all right, I'm going to bring all this money. I'm going to gamble it all. And then I can't quite pull the trigger. Yeah. Or you leave half it in the room and you're like, it seemed like a great idea when you're fucking, we're going to Vegas, let's get some money out. And you get to the hotel room, you grab it on, you're like, nah, let's go ahead and leave half that there. I don't know what it is.
You have more strength than me.
I was thinking Baby Moon. We go to PV. Maybe a little wind club.
Could do that. When's that? When's that? When's that going to be?
I don't know.
Baby Moon.
Wait, is Baby Moon baby after moon the baby?
No, no. Baby Moon is before the baby.
Wait, I thought you were supposed to do that with your wife.
Isn't a honeymoon after you get married?
That's true, but the Baby Moon is before.
Yeah, that's funny. That I thought that was with the wife.
No, I think the baby, the wife gets the baby gift.
The wife gets that's fine. All the stuff, but I mean, throw a little something my way. All
right. When do you want to do that?
I don't know.
Wait. You just told us. When's baby due?
Baby's due March the 2nd.
All right. So we should probably go like January, February.
Yeah, let me know.
Oh, well, let's go. We got to go when there's, well, there'll be plenty of sports. We got to go to the Wind. We got to be the Wind Club Wales.
That's what I'm saying.
I got my hat ready to go.
Yes. There you go. All right.
All right. Well, that's the episode of regret.
How fucking weird that an episode of regrets led us at the end of the episode of regrets to book another gambling trip.
Yes. That's the way it's supposed
Sans
to be done.
Regrets. Just want a hot dog.
See, the past is just the past. It doesn't fucking matter.
I want to get that hot dog. That's sweet, sweet hot dog. All right. I guess that is episode on regret. Hopefully you don't regret listening to this episode.
Pretty sure if you got to this point, you
regret it. Yeah, he's like, why the hell did I waste my time?
And if you turned it off before you got to this point, at least you know you made the best decision.
Yeah, you know what? Guess what? Just email Jim. And he will give you $100 out of his own personal account.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. The first person to post in the comments on any of our social media, Jim, where's my 100? Jim's sending you $100.
Personal
guaranteed.
Account.
Let's see if anyone really listens to the end. Yeah, I don't think they do.
What, that minute number, 54 minutes? How long are we?
52 in.
52 right, minutes
52 in.
If you survived.
On our on either the Startup Addict, at the Startup Addict on Instagram, startup_addict on Twitter. Jim, where's my 100? First person to do it gets $100.
Perfect. And then please sign up for Party with Dennis. I have a couple ideas.
Oh, hey.
I'm working on it. I just thought
you're
of something.
Can I go? I mean, if you're still recording.
Wait a minute. If you go like this, it's almost like you'd have a teardrop coming out of your eye.
I know. Speak of regrets. That's going to tattoo shows way too drunk.
Where'd you get that? I never seen it before. Wait, is that a long time ago?
I was like, yeah, quite a few years ago.
So you've always had that?
Always.
Huh.
I've had it for 10 years.
I guess you've never pointed me. You always have a closed fist.
Yeah, I'm always angry, swearing at the gods.
Hold on, wait.
Yeah, I was going to do it in my eye, but I thought that might be a little bit too risky.
Oh, I'm in the wrong email account. Hey, so your list, the Party with Dennis list, has grown.
Has it?
Yeah, it has. Do you recognize any of these names is what I'm going to ask
you. Well, let's not ask him. This is private, but people don't want to party with Dennis. Yeah, the whole world knows.
Yeah, exactly. Right, it just says, you know, Jeff Bezos
and
shit
like
that.
Break up marriages, break up fucking companies.
At the Startup Addict on Instagram.
Gary V's probably on there. Just like, Gary V. I want to party with Dennis.
I want to party. Who the fuck's this guy?
startup_addict on Twitter.
Yep.
And like, YouTube. Stop talking. We're trying to party here with Dennis. Like, I would just be like, you fucking... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're just such an asshole.
All right. I guess I'll see you later. Wish me luck at the tables.